Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own business as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
You
got the new digs?
It's freaking me out.
It's quiet in here.
It's not because it's freaking me. It's not that it's freaking me out. It's that I'm averse to change. And it's changed.
No.
So it's just fucking with me a little bit.
Yeah.
I keep talking about I'm turning into an old man.
I think you were there 20 years ago.
I've just always been an old man. Just didn't know I was an old man. It is quiet in here.
Clint Eastwood movie.
Which one?
Where he's like, get off my lawn.
El Torino.
Yeah,
that's is it Torino?
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. That's a great movie, though.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. He ends up sacrificing himself for the kids at the end. Oh, spoiler alert, if you didn't watch the 20-year-old movie, sorry. It's a great movie.
Spoiler alert.
Love me some Clint Eastwood. He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's okay.
It's all right.
We'll see how the colors turn out when I go to edit it.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, Thursday.
So.
Whenever the fuck I get around to
it.
If
you're not watching on YouTube, well, then you're just missing out, I guess, but.
Just staring at us.
It's pretty cool.
Me staring at you, you staring at me, them staring at us.
Well, what's weird is where your hand is right now under the table.
Oh,
that's not your hand then. So, you know what's funny?
What's funny, Mitch?
Speaking of off-color humor,
did you watch that Kevin Hart roast? Oh, my God.
I've seen parts of it. It doesn't excite me.
I just hate Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
I wish that
they
cunt
go
would,
cringe.
I wish that cunt would just die already.
Yeah, they go. one comedian goes political and makes it cringy.
Yeah,
and then the others feel like they have to have some kind of a retort, and it's just yeah.
Well, first off, you do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like if you insult me, I immediately like I have to, or I can't live with myself after that. So it's like you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You have to say something.
Yeah.
She's also the one that she used to date 50 Cent. And when 50 Cent came out and was like, no, I'm voting for Trump, she like went on, I don't know if it was The View or one of those stupid ass fucking shows, and was literally told him or made the statement, I'll give him whatever he wants if he just goes back on what he said and pulls for our candidate. I'm like, how big of a fucking whore are you?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That's weird.
It is weird. She's weird,
she's
dude.
Manly, too. She's not feminine.
I don't care if she's manly, but she's...
I don't know what 50 Cent sees in her. That's a weird... I don't know what any dude would see in her.
I think it was also like 15 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But dudes are dudes, man. Like... If
did you watch
got
that
a
mayoral
shot.
Debate for Los Angeles?
No.
Oh,
I heard
man,
it was
it's
fucking off
gold.
The rails.
The, you know,
I heard
the,
it was horrible.
The incumbents and the... And it's weird that you have Democratic opponents to the incumbent. Like, typically, if you're an incumbent, you don't have somebody opposing you.
That's from your party.
Yeah. And so they've got Democratic opponents.
Primary. Yeah.
And... and then you've got, oh my gosh, my mind just went blank.
Which city was it?
It's L.A.
L.A., okay. I mean, I knew it was in California, but I couldn't remember
Spencer
what city
Pratt.
It was. Oh, okay, yeah.
And so you've got like the incumbent, Karen Bass, and he's going like $400 million for the homeless population. It comes out to like $250,000 per homeless person to provide them a bed. Like, you could build them a fucking house for your budget.
How much do you think one of those tiny homes is?
Yeah.
50 grand with sewer and water?
Yeah. But then he's like, I got news for you. They don't want a bed. They want drugs. They want fentanyl. He's like, you're going to go down there. He's like, I challenge you after this. Let's go down there. Let's go under the bridge, and I'm going to watch you try to give one of these homeless people a bed, and they're going to stab you in the neck. And he tells them that on the debate. It was awesome. It was classic.
Is it on YouTube? Can I find it on
YouTube?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
just Spencer
man.
Pratt stab you in the neck, and you'll get everything you need. It's great. And what's funny is
I love it.
It's not that he's that awesome. I mean, he's good, don't get me wrong, but it's not that he's that awesome. It's that they're so terrible. All you have to do is just point out everywhere they're failing, and you're going to wipe the floor with them in a campaign.
What I don't understand is how people can just blatantly look past all the fraud and the wasted money and the wasted spending in all of these states. And people are like, no, it's fine. We're trying to help. We're just trying to help what?
Yeah.
You are not helping anything.
He flat out called her out on like the Palisades fire.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you drained the reservoirs during fire season for maintenance. Who does that? Like, who plans maintenance during the season when you're going to need the reservoirs?
I mean, my guess is retards.
Yeah. And then she left town while the fires were going on, and the person that she put in charge is now sitting in federal penitentiary for, like pornography charges or something. Like your number two that you put in charge was horrible.
Dude, the left is unhinged.
And then, because they didn't have water to work the fires, they had all this budget surplus, and he's proven that she took that budget surplus and put it into her PR campaign. Like,
how's she not in jail then?
I don't know. But meanwhile, she just sits up there and smiles like,
when are we gonna
like he's
start,
not absolutely crushing her.
Why? When are we going to start prosecuting some of these people that are just stealing funds?
You mean like Fauci, who's today's Tuesday. Fauci's statute of limitations ended yesterday. No charges, no indictments. And now a quick word from our sponsor, Field Pulse. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features for your CRM, estimates and invoices, scheduling and dispatching, good, better, best proposals, maintenance plans, and it will even run the TradeWinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC. So you can hit the ground running without ever changing how you do work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, FieldPulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. FieldPulse has earned a 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, scroll to the description of this show and click on the link in the show. We're investigating. Okay,
investigating what?
Investigating
the AIDS
means
pandemic?
Nothing. Yeah.
The coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah. So,
I'm not.
So Fauci's walking free now. You know, the guy who said masks, like he literally, he's on record. You don't need a mask. I mean, it may stop a particle, but it's not going to do anything.
And then
the same guy,
wear them.
The same guy went from that to two masks, three masks, four masks. The more masks, the better.
I don't advocate for violence, but I don't know how someone that lost a parent
I think
hasn't fucking shot that dude in the face.
I think America is very close to advocating for violence very soon.
Dude, I saw a fucking poll the other day that was like, I think it was people under 25, don't quote me on it, it was under 25 and that were left-leaning, not liberals, just left-leaning, like 40% of the people they polled were like, yeah, it's okay for political violence. That's scary. And it was an actual, like, regular, it wasn't a Fox News poll, a CNN poll.
The difference,
it was a real poll.
The difference between what you and I are talking about and what those polls are talking about, though, those polls are talking about the assassination attempts on Trump. And they're trying to not necessarily justify them, but they're making everybody numb to the fact that they've tried to kill the guy four fucking times. Right?
The guy is a fucking hard ass.
Right. And so they're basically making everybody numb to that. The political violence you and I are talking about is nonpartisan. It's if you have found to have been corrupt, if you have found to have been fraudulent, if you have found to steal people's money and use it for personal gain or to keep yourself in office longer, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican,
you should
or whatever.
Be shot.
Yes.
They should drag you out in the street and shoot you.
Yeah.
That's what they should.
We're talking about
doing.
Unilateral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely down for that.
Public service.
Dude, if stonings?
Yeah, tarred and feathered?
Yeah. No, stonings.
I saw a shirt the other day that we need to make in the Frozen Delaware one. It was like a meme.
Well, as soon as Frozen Delaware said, turns like $4, we'll do it.
Yeah, well. it was a meme that said, like, get in, loser, we're crossing the Delaware.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And then it, there was another one that was like, what the fuck is a kilometer?
So. That's actually really that's actually really good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't want to just ramble forever. We rambled last couple of episodes.
I know. What are we have a lot to talk about today.
That's what I'm saying. You keep telling me
it's possible
lot.
This goes two shows. We'll
what
see.
Are we going to talk about?
We're
going to
talk about the
10
commandments of leadership in the trades. So we have a leadership, a 10-week leadership training course going on in Tradewinds right now. And once that course is over, we're actually going to open it up to the public to where any of the listeners to this show or anybody who wants to sign up for that course can join it. We are in week 4 right now. And so far for the first 3 weeks of it, the feedback has been overwhelmingly awesome.
Are the guys doing their homework?
The guys are doing their homework.
Everyone?
No, I'm not going to say everyone.
Why don't you give me a list and I'll call them?
Well, I could do that, but at the same point, that's kind of their job to figure out. Like,
I know
I'm leading them to water. They paid for the course. If they're not going to do their own homework, that's on them.
You know what? I don't ask for a lot. Like, I don't have a reason to yell at people anymore. I'm asking you for just a couple of names.
It's not like they have to turn in their homework
to
me.
Well, they fucking should be.
They should.
They should be.
So, but this is kind of a parallel to that. As I'm passing the torch on leadership in my own company and everything else, it's kind of hot on my mind. And so I actually created this for my manager in my own company as just kind of a rules to live by, like an image. Like, I'm going to go through the full explanation, but then I gave him like an image to where he can keep on his phone and he can refresh himself on these 10 commandments. And of
you're
course,
you're going to have it like blown up real big and framed and go over and hang it in his house when he's not there.
I had AI make the image. And of course, it
what is it
put him on like stone tablets, like the 10
commandments. Oh, like it's Moses?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. So
I love it. My God.
We're going to talk about the 10 commandments in the trades, and these are kind of in order of importance. In other words, the most prevalent ones are first, the least prevalent are last. But okay, they're not in order of importance, they're in order of prevalence, but they're all equally as important. It's
okay.
Just the first one is going to be the one that is most prevalent every day, day in and day out, 24/7. The 10th one is going to be the least prevalent, but still equally as important, if that makes sense. So,
yes, it makes 100% sense.
Number one.
Number one.
Put mission above mood. Unfortunately, we try to lead with emotion too much in business. And so as a leader in the trades, we want to not lead on emotion. We want to lead based on our responsibility to be a leader. And so and leadership in the trades, this is not just people on your team. This is you leading business partners of yours. This is you leading customers. This is how you lead yourself in business, right? And so we want to make sure that we're not making decisions when the emotions are high, because when the emotions are high, the decisions are erratic. So customers still need service when we're tired. We still got to give them good service. Employees still need direction when we're frustrated. Even if frustrated at them, we still got to give them good direction. Problems still need solved when life gets busy. We still got to figure that out. So mood cannot be the thermostat for the company. Great leaders learn to separate their feelings from standards, their stress from decision-making, and their exhaustion from excuses.
That's actually really good. I, as an emotional person, how do I say this? I naturally feel how others feel. I'm very empathetic. Yeah. I can read people. And so the emotion part of who I am is very valuable, I think. You know what I mean? But it also makes it very difficult sometimes to be unbiased.
Yeah.
Right? What I find very helpful for me is I don't have to do the 10-second walk away. I don't necessarily have to do the sleep on it. But what I do is I tell myself, what emotions are you having that are affecting this situation and how you're thinking about it?
Right.
Like, I literally say that to myself in my head. And then I say, okay, what are the actual facts? And then I will come up with a decision or how to talk to someone based on the question I asked myself.
Right.
It took me a long time to learn that.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yeah.
You're not that way. You're a psycho. But
well, I'm a sleep on it kind of guy.
You are a sleep on it kind of guy.
And I'm also a guy that will, I'll have an emotional flare up internally. I've only ever lost my temper once in the company in front of employees.
Yeah, some people have never punched a guy in the face, and it shows.
but I'll have an internal emotional flare-up, and then if I can calm myself down, I'll make a decision. If I can't, then I just walk away and I sleep on it. And
yeah,
chances are whatever problem's been building for a couple days anyway, I don't need to solve it this minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Those that are emotional, like myself, like we have learned, those of us that have become good leaders, we have learned that I can't tamp this emotion down, but I know how to work past it and make a rational decision regardless of how I'm feeling about it at any given time.
Yeah.
That's a valuable skill.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, your team deserves consistency more than motivation. And a lot of motivation is tied to emotion. And so...
Can be.
Your team deserves the consistency of your leadership more than your motivation. So...
I like that. That's
commandment
good.
Number two.
Numero dos.
Never ask others to do what you won't do yourself.
Mm.
Tradespeople can immediately smell fake leadership.
Fake managers. Oh,
and
man.
So you don't earn respect because of a title. You earn respect because the people know that you've carried the weight. You understand how hard it is, and you've crawled through the same mud they are crawling through. This doesn't mean you stay stuck on the tools forever, but it means that you never become disconnected from reality, you never act above the work, and you never say, I got people for that, right? And you never forget where the company came from. A trades leader must remain relatable while becoming exceptional. So proof of concept of this is... The company that I was at that was bought out by PE that I was at for 18 months and brought in to lead their company, 22 plumbers, $8 million a year in revenue. When I got there, it was 22 plumbers, $6 million in revenue. When I left, it was 18 plumbers and $8 million in revenue over the course of 18 months. And the manager that was in place before me was from the field. I have plenty of plumbing experience.
Yes, you do.
But then when I left that organization, they replaced me with a team leader, manager, person that didn't know the first thing about plumbing. Not anything at all. Might as well have been like an IT guy. A clue about plumbing.
That's the first step to failure.
Right.
That
thing went down quick after
that. You cannot
that.
Lead men if you haven't been there before.
Right.
Especially in the blue collar trade.
Right.
Dude, you can't tell a guy, no, you've got to go over there and trunch through shit and you've never done it on your own.
Right.
Like you have to be able to stay grounded.
Yeah.
Like this could be the stay grounded commandment.
Yeah.
Like you have to still, I like what you said before about you, even if you're off of the tools and have been off of the tools for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, it's probably a good idea to get out in the field once in a while and run a shovel.
Yeah.
Help the guys dig out a sewer.
Yeah.
Like,
never act above the work.
Yeah.
And never forget where the company came from, right? So we have a on-site visit coming up with a Tradewinds member. For those that don't know, we do like on-site business makeovers.
Dude, just stop telling people that.
And so Dave loves traveling.
I hate travel.
So anyway, we were talking with him yesterday and I literally told him, like I reminded him, I'm coming in work boots and jeans. Like, we're going to do a sales training, and then I'm getting in a truck. And make sure whoever you decide I'm riding with, make sure they know, like, I know what the fuck I'm doing. So, like, I'm going to get dirty. I'm going to swing a hammer. I'm going to cut a pipe. I'm going to run an auger.
I'm going to cut a pipe.
Like, I'm going to do whatever needs done to get the job done.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not above the work.
Yeah.
And so, as a leader of the company, you can't be above the work.
Yeah.
So,
people tend to let that slide.
Yes.
You can't. Like, it's, I don't know if it's an ego thing. A guy's get into a management role, a business owner role, whatever, and they're like, oh, I've made it.
Yeah.
First off, no, you fucking haven't.
Right.
You're still working. Okay. You're not retired. Don't forget that your guys are going out there every day doing the same thing that you used to hate fucking doing.
Yep. Yep. Therese. Commandment number three, protect the standard at all cost. Culture's not built by amazing speeches. It's built by what leadership tolerates. Every company will become a reflection of what the leader rewards and what the leader ignores and what the leader allows to repeatedly occur in the business. If laziness survives, laziness spreads. If dishonesty survives, dishonesty spreads. If negativity survives, negativity spreads. So standards are not real until they cost something. Write that down.
I'm not writing it down.
I feel like it's...
read it to me again. What did you say?
Standards are not real until they cost something. In other words, we can say we do all these standards all we want, but until it costs us a customer, until it costs us a dollar,
I was gonna say
until
sales,
it costs us an hour, the standard doesn't mean shit, right?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Like, what is it in the trades? It's the callback. The one thing that sticks out in my head is the callback.
Yeah.
A callback that you have to be responsible for because you fucked up a job. Not, and I'm not talking something happened to a condenser or a water heater or a panel or whatever. Like, it's something that was in your work.
Yeah.
You fucked up and missed, and you had to go back.
Yeah. And so, like, if integrity is your standard, but then you make a mistake and go on a callback and somehow lie to the customer and say that it's somehow not your fault and you end up charging the customer for the callback, that's not a standard.
No.
It didn't cost you time. It didn't cost you opportunity. You found a way to lie your way through it. So you do not have the standard of integrity at that moment, right? And so real leadership requires the courage to correct people and hold people accountable and make unpopular decisions and protect the mission over the comfort of the team. Weak standards create weak companies. And so we're actually going through some standards exercises in our company right now, like hardcore. And it's kind of funny. Our guys will learn this tomorrow morning. But I'm going to put a deadline in place that by July 1st of this year, we are 100% adhering to every standard in the company 100% of the time. And I don't know how this is quite going to turn out. I can tell you that whatever team we have on staff on July 1st will adhere to the standards 100%. I hope our current team is still here on July 1st. So
what's today? May 12th?
May 12th. We got 3 months. June, I'm sorry.
That's That's a month and 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
you're giving them that much?
Yeah, basically first day of Q3. So
okay, you're giving them through Q
through Q2 to
straighten their shit out and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
not straighten their shit out. It's we have a standard in place. We have a very
and they're not following the standard.
Very
straightening
well
their shit out.
Documented client experience process, and everybody will follow that process to a T by July 1st.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And the process works because it's the process I ran for the first 9 months of the company. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, number four.
I don't know why I'm speaking Spanish today.
Commandment number four. Be the calm in the chaos. This one gets understated a lot. In the trades, chaos is guaranteed, right? Equipment fails, trucks break, customers explode, employees quit. Weather shows up that wasn't supposed to be there. Cash flow problem. We had a massive cash flow problem in our business. We accidentally paid off a credit card that we were going to take 3 months to pay off. And
shit, we broke, dog.
Yeah, we bought two new cameras. And we were going to pay for them over 3 months, and we goofed. And we had the credit card set to just automatically pay off every month. And so it paid off. We're like, oh, fuck, where'd all our money go?
The process worked, and now we're broke.
Yeah, so...
and by we, I mean you.
There's obviously chaos everywhere, and during the chaos, the team watches what the leader does first. So if the leader panics, that panic becomes contagious and everyone else panics. But if the leader maintains their composure, that's also contagious.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's kind of the whole, like, if you see me running, try to keep up kind of thing. It's real. If
no,
you see the
real.
Leader panicking, they're going
to
panic.
Dude, 100%. One thing that always comes to my mind, and I this is one of those things that I kind of live and die by, is try to be comfortable with chaos. Mm-hmm. The more comfortable you can be with chaos, the less stressed you are.
Yep.
The better leader you are, the better you handle problems. Like, it just is one of those things that I don't want to say it's my mantra, but it's one of those things that I always try to abide by.
Yeah.
Because like what you said just 30 seconds ago, there is nothing that is going to be normal.
Right.
Day-to-day business, day-to-day life, day-to-day everything, there is always going to be trouble that arises. Some days will be better, some days will be worse, but there will always be chaos.
Yep.
The more comfortable, the more even-keeled you are, the more you recognize when the chaos is coming in and say to yourself, we're good.
Yep.
This is how I'm going to handle it. It's another problem. We're going to move on from this. The better off you are.
Yeah.
It can be that simple sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times crap's happened, and I've maintained myself as the calmest voice in the room, the clearest thinker under pressure when everyone else is wanting to freak out and throw in the towel and say it can't be done. You know, finding a way to clear the mind, calm the mind, and still think under pressure. And stabilize the team when everyone's spirits are spiraling out of control.
Yeah, all problems have a solution. It's just how long and how much money is it going to take?
Yeah.
That's it.
And so, essentially, the leader sets the emotional ceiling of the company. And the leader can blow that ceiling right off if they're not careful, right? Think back to the original reality TV days of Orange County Choppers. Those guys were fighting and ripping doors off of each other. Ripping doors off offices, like, all the time, right?
Well, it was also a TV show.
It's sensationalized a little bit for TV.
Yeah.
But still, that's also why they made it on TV.
Yeah, of course.
And so those were not great leaders. Now,
no, that dad was such a douche.
What they built was big, don't get me wrong, but it could have been much bigger, and it could still be in existence today had they been good leaders. So
maybe. I also heard that most of their bikes that they did were special builds were junk.
Oh, yeah. So, absolute junk. That's what I'm saying.
You know what did come off topic here? My father-in-law and ex-brother-in-law, I guess. So you used to be able to buy kit bikes, mm-hmm. not from Orange County. I'm just and put them together yourself and build them. And they mm-hmm. built 4, 5, 6, sold them. Those were the coolest bikes ever.
Yeah.
Fast, strong. The worst part was riding them beat the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it was obvious. Like, after the third one, they're like, dude, you can't ride these things.
Yeah.
Like, they're cool. Like, you take them to church on Sunday, or you go to the bar on, like, one night a week or something, but that's it.
Yep.
Like, you got to be a young guy.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a different game for sure.
Yeah. Next. So, what do you got?
All right. Number 5. Discipline will take you further than talent ever will. The trades industry is full of talented people. But those people stay broke, angry, and inconsistent. Why? Because the talent without the discipline creates a highly volatile person. So if you want to be a leader in the trades, you're going to show up early. You're going to follow through. You're going to do the boring things repeatedly because the success is in the mundane. You're going to handle all the details. You're going to have the difficult conversations. And you're going to maintain standards even when nobody is watching. The discipline to do all of those things will take you further than your talent ever will. You can be the best sales guy ever, but if you don't show up early, you don't follow through, you don't do the boring things repeatedly, you don't handle the details, handling the details. You can be the best sales guy ever, but the details of getting the information from the sale to the install team.
Or the details of pricing it correctly and seeing every little flaw
right.
that causes you to make money or not make money on a sale.
Right.
If you sold $100,000 worth of work, but it cost you $105,000 worth of work, doesn't really matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? You lost $5,000.
Yeah.
I love this one. Like, you and I talk about this a lot. We talk about it with the Tradewinds guys a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use myself as an example. I'm not special.
No.
I didn't go to college. I come from a poor family. I am not that smart.
Right.
But I will show up every day, and I will keep my nose down, and I will do whatever it fucking takes to get it done.
Yep.
And then to do that every day, to be consistent, and no matter what, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it, is what makes me successful.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It. Everyone wants to act like there's some kind of secret sauce, or you got to, you know, you got to have your business management degree, and then you got to do this, and you got to be lucky in business, and you got to...
Dude, that's...
So, dude, sometimes you just got to fucking show up every day, do what you say you're going to do.
I saw an ad the other day that was for a $50,000 job, and they were requiring a four-year degree. I'm like, you got to be fucking shitting me.
I know, man. They're everywhere, too. It's bad.
Yeah.
That's it. Grain Valley had their deal when they were looking for a new... I think we've talked about this before. They were looking for a new inspector. You had to have a four-year degree and 5 years in the field.
Yeah.
First off, if you have 5 years in the field, you don't have a four-year degree.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen.
And if you have 5 years in the field, you're not taking a pay cut to go be an inspector.
And it was 60 grand.
Yeah.
Like, see... What?
Yeah.
Like, it like literally just makes no sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah, companies that dominate markets and companies that grow wildly, they're usually not built on the most gifted of people.
No.
Right? They're built on the most disciplined people.
Discipline.
Look at what Nick Saban did in Alabama. Do you think Nick Saban had like the most talented team ever?
No.
No. Now, because of his past and his reputation, he probably got a little minor edge on talent.
I'd say he got more than a minor edge, but to get there,
yeah,
you didn't have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you weren't not getting that advantage in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's what got you there. So what was it? Probably discipline.
Discipline.
Probably attention to detail.
Yeah.
Probably holding his
team accountable to the details.
Yeah, to the same standard that he had laid out for himself.
Yep.
Discipline, man, like, if there is one thing in culture, like, today, right now, it's that no one has the discipline to follow things through.
Right.
You know, what do we see in the blue-collar trades all the time? Guys are tired. Guys are wore out. They drink a little bit too much. You know, they feel like, oh, I've worked really hard, which they have. I'm not discrediting the amount of physical work it has taken them to get somewhere, but they're like, I'm going to buy this motorcycle, or I'm going to buy this car, I'm going to buy this new truck instead of a used truck. And they've taken all the discipline they had to be good at their job and show up every day and be worn out, and then thrown it out the window with the money they earned from having that discipline.
Yeah.
Like, the discipline didn't carry over to all of their decision making.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they're fucking broke when they're 45 and their bodies broke down.
Yeah,
you know,
it's funny you say that. So I, my son has this mowing gig. You saw his new mower. My son just bought like one of the most top of the line stand on mowers you can get, a Skag V-Ride XL.
V-Rides are nice. I'm old. I sit down. I don't.
Yeah,
you know, for him it's perfect.
Apparently, for the speed and everything else, the standards are where
it's the way to go.
But
and you can see
he's 17. He's still in. He's a junior in high school.
Good kid too.
And you
kind
know,
of a jack off.
He just bought a mower that's like worth twice as much as his truck. And so he went in there. The plan was to finance it, and start building his credit.
Yeah.
And we got thrown for a little bit of a curveball. They ended up not allowing him to be on the financing contract because he's not 18.
Yeah.
And so we just ran it all through me, and I told him, once you're 18, like, I'll sell it to you.
Something.
And then we'll find some way to get you on the financing contract once you're 18. It's zero interest, so there's no...
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
It's not costing anything to finance it, right? But he's never been a part of a buying process through financing or anything else, and so...
Yeah, he's a kid.
You know, I've got really good credit and really good buying power and everything else, and so we fill out the application, and the guy's like, yeah, this usually takes 15, 20 minutes, and they'll either... Like, I'll refresh the screen and it'll show me that we're good, or they'll call me with a decision, one of the two. Oh, it's approved. Like, before he could even get done with his sentence, it was approved. And so nowadays, too, whenever you finance anything, they tell you your credit score. And my credit score is like 843. And so we got home, and I'm like, I bet Mason didn't even realize what happened in there.
I guarantee he had no fucking clue.
I had to pull him aside and say, like, do you know what happened in there? He's like, yeah, you went in there and you bought it. And I'm like, no. that doesn't usually go that way. Like, did you catch when the guy was saying it usually takes 15, 20 minutes for a decision, and ours was instant approval?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because, like, you got good credit, right? And so, it gave me an opportunity to explain to him that
maybe
not only was I disciplined in the trades, but I've also been disciplined financially to maintain the good credit and everything else, because there's a lot of people that are wizards at their job.
Yeah.
But they don't carry that discipline to their home life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm the most financially disciplined person out there. And I'm also not taking all the credit for it.
Well, we won't get because, into that, but yeah.
Because my wife pays the bills, right? And so, you know, it's her diligence to pay the bills and everything else on time and all of that stuff that that earns it. But it just gave... It gave me and Danielle an opportunity to kind of impress upon Mason, like, this is why paying your bills on time matters, is because eventually when decisions like this come about, you don't even have to worry. Like, you're not even worried. Is it going to be a yes or a no?
Yeah.
It's just an automatic yes.
Yeah.
So
you want to hear something funny? What do you think my credit score is?
It's probably really low because you don't finance anything.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
I don't know. Probably 650.
It was 654.
Yeah.
So I financed part of that car.
Banks probably hate you.
Well, he asked me, like, so I fill out all the credit stuff, and I said, I'm going to put this much down and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I want to finance the rest of it. And then, you know, 3-6 months, whatever, I'll pay that off. And he's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Gives me the deal. And he calls me, like, I don't know, 20 minutes later. And he's like, okay, yeah, you're approved, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of starts laughing, and he's like, I don't know if I've ever seen a faster yes with a low credit score before.
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, your credit score is 650. I said, well, let me tell you why. I said, it's because I told DirecTV they could suck my dick one time, and they sent me to collections over $250.
Yeah.
Because we'd got, during one of the Trump election periods, I can't remember which one it was, they took away a bunch of channels because those people were backing him.
Yep.
And I told him it was breach of contract.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck you. I said, cancel my shit. Well, you still, it was like $230-something. I said, well, I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
Well, then we're going to send you to collections. I said, fucking send me.
Yeah.
I said, I don't give a fuck. They're like, well, it'll ruin your credit. I said, I don't need credit anymore. I'm past credit. Credit's over for
we're,
me.
We're past that.
Like, I'm not rich, but I don't need credit anymore.
Yeah.
Well, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, he starts telling me that. He goes, but you've put so much money down and your buying power. We talk about buying power a lot, you and I.
Yeah.
Like, can you just write a check for it?
Yeah.
Yes, but you're going to finance it anyway. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to let go of that cash, right?
Well, and it's free money
and
sometimes.
It was just very, I'd say the last 3 years, some of the credit things and what we perceive as credit and why you have to have it and this and that and blah, blah, blah. It's been very eye-opening for me. But to your point of with Mason, like, he has to start there.
Yeah.
We all have to start there.
Yeah.
And that's good for him to see it. Hopefully.
Well, there's a lot of younger people out there, especially in the trades, in the blue-collar world.
Yeah.
They are disciplined in their craft. They're disciplined with their hands, but they're not disciplined with their mind and in their wallet. And so,
yeah, that's a good point.
And I think it derives from the trades trying to be flashy. Like, I'm trying to show that I didn't have to go to college to make as much as you. So I'm going to try to show my earnings.
Yeah, it's a self-esteem issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately that means there's a lot of tradespeople out there with bad credit scores.
Well,
so
they're just fiscally irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to derail us. I just I thought that you brought that. That's
discipline across the board.
It's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Continue, sir.
All right, number six. Build people, not just revenue. Okay? So the leader who only builds money will eventually lose both people and money.
Yeah.
Trades leadership is not about sales, profit, number of trucks, and growth charts. It's not about top-line revenue. It's about the number of people that you build along the way. One of the earlier parts of this show, in the earlier episodes, we talk about the desire to become a millionaire, not for the money, but for the person you become on the path to becoming a millionaire. Well, the desire to lead a company is not for the money that company can bring, but for the desire of the people that you grow and develop along the way. And so...
Yeah.
It's about helping people become stronger versions of themselves. It's about getting people to do more than even they thought they were capable of. So your responsibility as a leader is to help people gain confidence, develop skills, become more dependable, improve communication, lead their family lives better, and believe they are capable of more than they are. The family lives one is key because you don't touch their family life and you don't really have a say in their family life. But if you can watch their family life improve, that's usually as a direct result of the leader in the company. And I'm a firm believer there are no company problems. There are problems at home that are brought into the company. Now, the company can definitely have problems,
yeah,
right? But you get a guy that was arguing with his wife or his kid or something that has financial problems, and then all of us, like, let's just say they repo in his car. Well, that's going to change his attitude at work.
Yeah.
That's going to change his desire to be ethical, right? He's going to consider
pushing
theft.
High sales items.
Right.
He's
going to consider theft. He's going to consider unethical sales. He's going to consider a lot of things because he wasn't a good leader at home, and now he's put himself in a position. Same goes with like a guy that comes into work after arguing with his wife all night long. He's not in the right headspace. And if that guy's one of your heavy equipment operators, he may break some shit because he's just reckless that morning because he's reckless in his mind from his home life.
Yeah.
And so the best leaders out there get to watch their people become better at home as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think of it, like, if you want to think of it from a selfish standpoint, like, if you grow a leader and the guy is confident, sure of himself, growing other leaders inside of your business, that guy's not leaving either.
Right.
You know what I mean? You built someone that wants to be part of something else.
Yeah.
Because, like what you were saying, you've improved his home life.
Yeah.
His work life. He makes more money. Like, your attention to that individual and turning that person into a leader by you being a good leader and a good example has only helped the growth of the business that you're in charge of, whether it's yours or your manager or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a reciprocal effect.
People like to knock rigid structure, but they're drawn to it.
Dude, rigid...
And they naturally crave it.
Rigid structure is what makes the U.S. military so badass.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
So the fact that you would put rigid structure in your business, it actually gives you more freedom as an employee. Having rigid structure, having your leader in your if you work for somebody, and that person has a very rigid structure for how the business goes, that gives you more freedom to be yourself than if there was no structure. And the reason I say that is because now you get to let your personality shine while working within a construct that was already built and proven and tested by somebody else.
Yeah.
We're not as good as we think we are. And so there's a lot of people that think,
not.
I don't need this structure. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And so then they start operating outside the structure and all performance drops.
Yeah.
And performance might improve in one area, but as a whole, it drops across the board. And it's because they're deviating from the structure that they were once drawn to.
Yeah.
So the greatest companies are built by leaders who multiply people, not leaders who simply use them. And I've seen companies use people and not care to develop them.
No.
And those companies are in dire straits right now. Ironically, one of them is reaching out to considering working with Tradewinds.
I haven't heard anything else.
So,
and I'm not pushing the envelope.
Yep. All right, seven.
Seven.
Tell the truth, especially when it hurts. Trust is the consistency of leadership. Once trust dies, everything dies. Culture, morale, loyalty, everything dies with trust.
Yeah.
Tradespeople respect honesty far more than perfection. A leader must tell the truth. They must tell the truth about performance, about finances, about expectations, and about mistakes and consequences. And that includes telling the truth on yourself, too. I got to tell the truth if the team's performance is falling, but I got to tell the truth if my performance is falling. I got to tell the truth if the team's not meeting expectations, but I got to tell the truth when I'm not meeting expectations too. So excuses destroy leadership faster than failed leadership ever will. Extreme ownership builds credibility. And so when your team watches you take accountability for a problem, that builds trust. When a problem occurs and the leader blames the team solely and squarely without taking any accountability, the team no longer trusts the leader, right? If the leader says, you guys are making me look bad, why would they ever want to make you look good after that?
Yeah, fuck you.
Right. And so we have to be honest, and we have to be honest both ways, with the team and with ourselves.
Honesty, what stands out to me about that is, like, when you as a leader are making excuses for employees that you like that are performing poorly,
yep,
like, that's poison in your team. You know what I mean? Oh, well, John, this job went south, and then you make an excuse for John.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't get the material, or we didn't do this, or this didn't happen. And you, like, start excusing behavior for certain employees versus other employees.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of those cancerous things that, like, in 3 months can just completely ruin a department.
Yeah.
Just overnight sometimes.
Yep.
And, like, you have to, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and be like, am I, like, letting these guys get away with too much?
Yep.
Am I not holding them to the standard, and I'm lying for them? I'm not telling them the truth?
Yep.
Because you want to be, quote unquote, the nice guy or the good leader or whatever. You're devaluing your role, yourself, and that person's actual contribution to the department.
Yeah.
It can be a very detrimental thing, I think, that we see that a lot.
Yeah, the leader's job is to place accountability and responsibility where it lies.
Yeah.
It's not to shed accountability and responsibility. In other words, if there's a systemic breakdown, well, it's partially the leader's fault because he wrote the system and he enforced the system. So if it's a systemic issue,
didn't enforce the system.
Right. If it's a systemic issue, that's on him. If it's an enforcement of a system issue, that's also on him. Right? I didn't enforce the standard well enough. I was letting you guys slide on the standard. That's a leadership issue. It's also the guy's issue, too, because they're knowingly sliding on a standard. But a bad leader will put all the blame on the team. A good leader will say, I wasn't hard enough on you guys. I didn't hold you guys accountable enough.
Yeah.
Right?
I said you had to do X. It went 3 months, and I didn't check up on you and say, you're not doing this.
Yeah.
And so you let it slide. That's actually my fault.
Yeah, I told you to do this, and every week you didn't do it, and I kept saying, well, try harder this week.
Yeah.
That's bad leadership.
Yeah.
Right? So, number eight.
Eight.
The team, this goes right in line with number seven, the team must see you growing as well. If the leader stops growing, the company starts declining. You cannot demand professionalism, learning, accountability and personal and professional growth from your team while you are remaining stagnant yourself. So leaders in the trades must constantly improve. We must be working on our communication. We must be working on our emotional control. We must be working on our financial understanding and our financial discipline. We got to work on our strategic thinking, our physical discipline, and our mental toughness. We got to be working on all those things as well. And if your team sees you growing and developing, and your team sees you lose your cool 9 months ago at this thing, and then this thing happened again, and this time you didn't lose your cool, and they see that you've grown and developed past that, your team has respect for you.
Yeah.
But if your team sees you lose your cool over the same shit every time, your team loses respect for you real quick.
Yeah, the rising tide raises all ships.
Yes. Growth from the top creates permission for growth throughout the company. The leader must model. One of the things I say all the time is nobody will do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. And so if you tell people to work on being on time, but you're not on time, they won't be on time.
Yeah.
If you tell people to work on their physical appearance, but your physical appearance isn't modeling what they want, then they're not going to work on their physical appearance. Right? And so we have to do what we want the team to do. And if we tell people to work on yourself in the off hours, like a lot of people in the trades business, they spend a lot of time behind a windshield, right? You can spend that time however you want. You can listen to music. You can call your loved ones. You can call your employees and bitch about the manager.
Yes. Or that was my favorite. Fuck yeah. Or fuck that Mitch.
Or you can listen to podcasts that are helping you grow yourself. You can listen to podcasts about financial discipline. You can listen to podcasts about becoming a leader. You can listen to podcasts about weight loss.
You tell me I'm fat?
You can grow your brain, or you can just kill time.
Yeah.
And so what we do in our downtime matters, and what the leader does in their downtime matters. So the leader's got to model that, right?
I agree.
If the leader says, I want you to do better, and the leader's not getting better, people won't ever get better.
Yeah. It's really a respect thing. If people don't have respect for you because you spout off at the mouth and then never follow it up, like sometimes it is just that simple.
Yeah.
You know, follow up with what you say.
Yeah.
You say you're going to do something, do it. If you're always going out there saying, yeah, I'm going to do this for you guys, I'll get this for you, I'll get these parts, I'll get this schedule done, blah, 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 and then none of it's ever done, like the biggest thing is they just lose respect for who you are and what you say.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be that simple.
Yeah. I'll go extremes here, right?
You always do.
If you've got a leader that smokes and that is overweight and that constantly has the banks knocking on the door, calling the phone,
addicted to vape pens,
that's going out on their wives.
Oh man, the good old days.
All the things that irresponsible people do. If you have a leader that's doing that, your team is never going to amount to shit. Because your team doesn't trust the leader. Like, you're not trying to better yourself. You're not trying to better your relationships. You're not trying to better your finances. You're not trying to better your health. So why would I do anything that you're telling me to do when you're not doing anything that you're telling me to do?
Yeah, and the younger your team is, the worse it is, too.
Yes.
Like, people don't understand until they're older how impressionable 22 to 28-year-old guys are.
Yeah.
Or gals. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? When they start seeing someone that is, they may not quote unquote look up to them like we talk about, but they do because you're in a position that they are striving, like that's the next level for them. They think if I do good here, that's the next level for me. So I need to, whether they recognize it in their mind or not, perform like this person's performing.
Yeah.
And if you set a bad example, but they think, oh, well, who cares? I can be a bad example and still get to where this motherfucker is.
Right.
They're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how the natural...
He was smoking and drinking every weekend and going out on his wife. Well, I can do that too.
That's the natural psyche of the human, you know what I mean? That's just the human experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, it's, I saw something, or I was listening to something the other day.
Isn't that why you started smoking?
I smoked for 2 years.
The guy training you smoked?
The guy training me smoked, and he would take smoke breaks, and I wanted breaks. And you couldn't get a break unless you smoked. And
subconsciously.
So I started smoking just to take breaks. So I also developed a habit of...
Whether you realize it or not.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I also developed a habit of, like, cursing very vulgarly out loud and losing my cool whenever something didn't go my way. Because that's what that guy would do.
Oh, I still fucking do that.
So
that's just who I am.
Yeah, it's been a hard one to kick. But
very interesting.
I saw something or listened to something the other day that said 95% of male Fortune 500 CEOs.
I was telling you this.
What?
We talked about this.
What?
Played competitive sports.
Played competitive sports.
Yeah, you and I talked about it.
Okay. And 96% of female.
Yeah.
Fortune 500 CEOs played competitive sports.
Yeah.
And so what that taught them in competitive sports, most of those sports are team sports. And so when you're forced to play on a team at a high level, everybody on that team's a leader. And so it teaches them leadership skills from a very young age. It teaches them how to have tough conversations.
Yeah.
It teaches them how to win when the odds are stacked against them.
It teaches you how to deal with losing. It teaches you how to deal with winning. It teaches you how to deal with multiple personalities on the same team, but then collectively get together and drive toward a common goal.
Right. Yeah. We could be unlikely friends, but when we team up on that field, you got a job to do, I got a job to do, yeah. Your job relies on mine, mine relies on yours, we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
And then when we're off the field, you're going to go home and do your thing, and I'm going to go home and do my thing.
Yep.
Right?
But when we're here together,
yeah,
we're coming together, and we're working towards this goal.
Yep.
Love sports, man. I just love, there is no, you cannot overstate the fact.
Sports and business go hand in hand.
Well, how important it is to young people's development.
Right.
Especially their mental development.
Yep. Yeah, it's huge.
Get your kids in sports. Not you, I'm not talking to you.
Mine were for a while, and then they got out naturally right when we started the company. So that was kind of to my advantage, I guess, because it allowed me to have all the time to focus on the company. But I could also see it being as a disadvantage because it would have made it harder, and I would have had to manage my time better and everything else. So,
yeah. Hey, man, sometimes a good challenge is good for you.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Commandment number 9. Make decisions with the long game in mind. Weak leaders make decisions on temporary comfort. Strong leaders make decisions for the long-term strength of the organization. In the trades, shortcuts are always easier. Shortcuts always collect interest later. Shortcuts seem easier now, but there's interest. You will pay on those shortcuts later. You'll pay interest on those later.
Yeah.
Every decision should pass this one test. Will this make the company stronger in 5 years or weaker in 5 years? And that applies to everything a leader does. Hiring, pricing, customer service, business partnerships, equipment purchases versus leasing, cultural decisions, and conflict resolution.
Firing.
Yes.
How about firing?
Firing. Yeah, hiring and firing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a true leader sacrifices short-term applause for long-term legacy. Okay? In other words, true leaders will fire their best sales guy because they aren't good for their company. The best sales guy ever in the existence of our company lasted 3 weeks. Best sales guy ever, and not even close. I mean, he would have doubled the company's revenue.
I'd have kept his fucking ass.
3 weeks, go home. Would have killed the culture, right?
There wouldn't have been anybody else. I'd have made him install his own shit, too. Yeah. You're on your own, bro.
Didn't want it. That guy's going to get somebody on the news, probably.
Probably.
So,
probably.
You can't sell that well and be honest and ethical and all live to the core values we have. So.
Yeah, you can't look yourself in the mirror unless you're just that kind of piece of shit.
And number 10, equally as important but least commonly found, is strong leaders in the trades are going to leave things better than they found them. The ultimate purpose of leadership is stewardship. So we entrust those leaders with our people, our opportunities, our influence, our customers, our reputation, and our resources. Great leaders lead behind stronger people, better opportunities, better influences, better customers, better reputations, and better resources. They also leave behind stronger systems and better families amongst the team. So we have to recognize those strong leaders, and we have to know that when everything pans out, it's usually the team that's in the spotlight. A good leader has a way of leading from the shadows, leading from the wings of the stage, almost to a point where you're questioning, like somebody who doesn't know what they're looking at. Thinks that the guy's not working.
Yeah.
Or thinks that the guy's not actually leading because he's doing it so well. Leadership, by definition, is getting things done through other people.
Yeah.
And so he's getting things done through other people so well that it almost looks like he's not working.
Yeah.
So the goal is not to simply build income. The goal is to build something that outlives you. It's a legacy, right?
Yeah, you're building something that when you're gone, just keeps on rolling.
Yeah. A true leader creates a lasting impact long after that leader's footprints and fingerprints are gone. So The final principle with these 10 commandments is leadership in the trades is not about becoming important. It's about becoming dependable under pressure. The best leaders carry the weight without complaining. They protect the standards without apology. They serve people without ego. They grow relentlessly. They remain steady in chaos, and they refuse to quit when things get difficult and everybody else around them is considering walking away. Because in the trades industry, leadership is not proven by words. It's proven on hard days. It's proven during uncertainty. It's proven under pressure. And it's proven when everyone else is looking for someone else to follow. In other words, it's proven when you might have a team that has one foot out the door. So that's where true leadership comes in.
Yeah.
And if your team were to walk out on you and you say, ah, fuck them.
You ain't a good leader,
that
dog.
Ain't a good leader.
No.
Right? If your team were to walk out on you and you say, okay, I'm responsible for this part of it, I'm responsible for this part of it, but I held them accountable here and they just couldn't hack it, right? That's a different type of leadership than, you know, some, like, not everybody's the best employee for every company. And so one of my old mentors used to say alignment over assignment, right? We got to make sure that the employees are aligned with the company before we assign them a role in the company.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, it's one thing to recognize I did everything I could as a leader and they just, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. And some guys can work with that. Other guys just refuse to get better. They absolutely refuse. Yeah. And then, so they just work themselves off the team. And yeah. It's not a detriment of the leader. It's actually accolades to the leader to get the bad guy off the team. Because that bad guy shouldn't be on the team if he's not going to take the leader's advice, if he's not going to respect the leader, if he's not going to honor what the leader says.
Well, and it's not even that. It's he's not honoring the people that he works with that are alongside him,
right,
that are working towards a common goal.
Right.
That's more detriment than the leader, than them not upholding the standard for the leader,
yeah,
per se. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, there are literally 10 other people on the team besides the leader that are relying on you to hold up your end of the deal.
Yeah.
And they're all marching in the same direction.
Yeah.
So we can all get better, and you're not.
Yep.
The leader's got, and that's the point that the leader's got to step in and be like, nope, sorry, dog, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, the number one sign that you have weak culture in your team is if you get guys saying, you don't pay me enough to do that. Get the fuck out of here. Right? I pay you well enough to do whatever it takes to make this organization succeed.
Yeah.
And there's this other guy that I started to follow online, and he runs a process facility, okay? Kind of like assembly line stuff, a bunch of warehouse kind of work. And this one guy's section of the warehouse was all caught up, and so he's like, hey, I guess I'm going to cut out early. I don't really have anything else to do. And he says, well, I mean, last week you were just complaining about me not paying you enough. And now you're choosing to cut out early. Like, how about you go over and help sweep the floors with this guy? Well, that's not my job. You don't pay me to sweep the floors. You pay me to pack the boxes. Oh, so now you're above doing the other roles in the company? And he basically got the guy to admit that I'm all about wanting more money from you when you're asking more of me, but I'm not about wanting more money for myself when I have the opportunity to cut out early.
Yeah.
So that's usually one of your first signs that you've got some culture issues and some leadership issues within the company. And so when you see those,
yeah,
hit them head on, right? And so for the guys that are listening to this that are currently working for somebody else, learn how to be led. Learn how to be coached. Learn how to take constructive criticism and not take it personally. If somebody is willing to lead you, that's a sign of respect. And if the leader stops talking to you, that's the problem, right? And so that's when you know you have a problem. If the leadership is continuing to try to pour into you and develop you and get you to be better, they still see something workable there. But when your leader goes silent, you need to worry about your job at that point, right?
Well, not just your job, but is it the first question to ask is it me?
Right.
Look in the mirror. Is it me?
Yeah.
Am I the issue?
Am I being coached?
And if you can honestly say it's not you, it's bad leadership.
Yeah. Am I coachable? In other words, when my boss comes to me and says, hey, let's try it this way, if your immediate response is, well, or some sort of resistance, you are not coachable. It's that simple. When your boss comes to you and says, let's try it differently and see if it gets a different result, and you say, okay, cool, I'll let you know how it goes, that's coachability.
Yeah. Now, if you go to him and say, hey, it didn't work, but I did do it that way, and the guy goes, hey, that's on you, that's a bad leader.
Could be a bad leader, right?
That's a bad leader. He should say, okay, you know what? You're right. You did it. You went through the process. That's on me.
Yeah.
That's a good leader.
Yeah. Humans by nature are resistant to change.
I hate this podcast room.
Humans by nature are resistant to change. Future leaders embrace change. Current leaders embrace change. The world is ever changing. And so if you're not changing in business, you're dying. It's just that simple. Look at Redbox.
Is Redbox still a thing?
Hardly.
Did Netflix buy Redbox?
Huh.
Okay.
Netflix put Redbox out of business.
Is that what it is? Oh, fucking hell, I don't know, dude.
I mean, your Netflix used to come in the mail.
First off,
for the younger guys.
I miss fucking Blockbuster.
Do you?
Dude, $5 DVDs to buy if they were pre-watched. It got you out of the house. Like, maybe I just missed the nostalgia.
It's the nostalgia that you miss.
Well, you know what? That doesn't mean it's not valid.
Oh, right. But, like, Redbox is a prime example. They refuse to embrace change. The world technology moved much faster than Redbox's corporate office.
Yeah.
And while Redbox is still trying to plant little kiosks that are going to spit you out a fucking snotted and scratched DVD, Netflix is investing in streaming. Netflix used to come in the mail. Redbox put Netflix on their heels when Redbox was like, nah, we're going to go kiosk. We're Netflix, but we're kiosks
instead of
mail.
Someone needs to fucking battle Netflix. Netflix is a little out of control.
Well, you're getting your Paramounts and all of your other streaming services and your Primes.
I have Prime and I have Netflix.
Yeah.
I have both. But if I want to watch a movie on Netflix, they're like, oh, that's $9.99. Fucking nine? Really? It used to be $2.
Yeah.
$2.
Yep.
Someone needs to come in there and be like, you know what? Let's knock these motherfuckers down a peg.
Yeah, I don't know.
$10.
I don't know how that business works, but all I know is Redbox put Netflix on their heels by putting out kiosks, and Redbox thought kiosks were the end-all be-all. And Netflix was like, all right, fuck your kiosks. We're going to go streaming.
Yeah. Well,
no need to leave your house.
That's also, we talked about this with Chick-fil-A. Like, there's a void there, and they're filling it, right?
Yeah.
Well, before Netflix, when Redbox was out, high-speed internet wasn't a thing.
Correct.
So there wasn't a choice.
There wasn't a choice.
But then what happened is high-speed internet came out, and it filled this gap of, hey, now you don't have to go.
And
we can beam that motherfucker straight to your house.
Well,
so they filled that space because there was no one else in it.
Redbox took high-speed internet and said, oh, we can communicate to our kiosks faster. And Netflix said, fuck your kiosks.
Yeah.
We're going to pipe this video straight to their house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They just took advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah. The willingness to change is what will literally, like, if you are unwilling to change, you will die in any industry you are. You will fail in any company you work at. You will fail at any position you work at.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to be willing to embrace change. Now, if you're in a leadership role, you're typically creating the change. If you're not in a leadership role, you're typically receiving the change order. We used to do it this way. We now do it this way.
Yeah.
And some of the weakest employees out there, and if you find yourself saying this, you're one of the weakest employees. Check yourself. The weakest employees out there, man, everything's always changing. They're always changing everything. Yes, they are.
Well, I...
That's their job.
Let's be honest. It is harder for that employee than it is for that leader.
Yes, it is.
So I wouldn't say that it's the weakest employee. That is a hard thing to do.
It's also hard to command the change, right? The leader's job ain't easy.
In this day and age when things are changing so fast,
mm-hmm.
and you're an employee and you're just trying to keep up, say you're not the most intellectual individual. And so every day you go into work, things are changing. and it is to the point where you like you're just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's bad leadership. Even though they're, oh, we have to change and keep up with the times. This is the gap. This is this. That leader has to make it obtainable for each employee. It's not necessarily a weak employee. It could be they need extra help in a certain area, and that's a leadership fault.
Yeah, but some
you
of
know
that,
what I mean?
Some of that
every employee can't be A+.
Some of that, though, is the leader is changing to stay with the times. And if the leader didn't do that, then that employee's job will soon not be there.
You
right?
completely miss the point. It's not that the leader isn't doing their job. It's that the leader isn't breaking it down for each individual employee, allowing that employee to succeed. And their blanket coverage is in every employee can handle this no matter what.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes
the leader's
that
not applying
is not,
the change to the team yeah, properly.
Yeah. Sometimes yeah. that is a greater detriment to your employees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. A leader that thinks everyone is A+ like I was when I was in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not.
Yeah.
Because if they were, they'd have your fucking job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to be able to, a good leader has to be able to play to the C employee just like they play to the A employee.
Yeah. Good leaders don't need A employees. Good leaders will take B and C players all day long and run circles around A players.
I agree with that 100%.
So
that speaks to my point.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same token, you're going to be a D and an F employee if you're like, everything's changing, so it's changing, I hate change.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'm
not saying you're saying that.
No, I know. I'm just, if the employee is trying,
yeah.
but can't be doing it, it's not that they're a bad employee.
Yeah.
It's that they need help
yeah.
implementing those things.
Yeah.
And that speaks to bad leadership.
And the leader's job is
not a bad employee.
Is to not only appoint the change, but explain the why so they have everyone's buy-in and then help facilitate the change.
Yeah.
So if you're just appointing change to appoint change to keep your team on its heels, that's bad leadership. But if you're appointing change because you realize, hey, customers now behave this way, so we have to now do this. Customers didn't used to behave this way.
Yeah.
But now they do.
Yeah.
Right? So like
good leadership.
In the trades world. Customers used to not be able to watch videos on YouTube to learn how to fix their own shit.
Yeah.
And so now, as a leader, we have to recognize that and we have to embrace that. And we have one of two directions to go. We're either going to add to the content on YouTube and make money showing people videos on how to fix their shit, or we're going to change the way we coach our team so that they can rise above the customers as they're like, well, I can just watch YouTube and figure this out. Right. And so And leaders are even going to do more than that with their marketing and all of that stuff to combat YouTube. But, yeah, you have to be able to convey the change and the why. And then from there, you have to apply that change at the employee's level. You have to meet the employees where they're at. So,
yeah,
all too often, people expect themselves out of their employees. And you're lucky if your employees are 80% of what you are.
Yeah.
And that's not an ego thing. As a business owner, you're lucky if your employees care about the business 80% to what you do. It's not their business. It's yours,
yeah.
right? As a manager, you're lucky if the employees pay attention to 80% of the details you do. It's not their job. Their job is to do the thing. It's your job to watch the details at the macro level. Now, attention to detail is an employee's job, for sure. But employees will do one thing consistently. They'll make mistakes. So if you have standards, they will get broken.
Yeah.
And it's just how well
you... We talk about it all the time. Everyone has a role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not Elon Musk. It's okay.
Yeah.
I got my role. I'm going to be as good at my role as I can.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not a garbage man either. I would not do good at that role because I'd go in there and I'd be like, fuck this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not my role.
Yeah. Not everyone has cut out for something.
Find your niche and be fucking good at it.
Yeah. And be willing to embrace change.
Yeah.
As long as the change is coming from a place of good and not just unnecessary change. So
wrap us up, Mitch. I'm tired.
That's it.
That's it.
So if this show taught you something, if it gave you a new perspective, if it made you think about things in a different way, if it challenged your leadership skills or your ability to be led, do us a favor and share this show with somebody else who might also benefit from a show like this. Send this to your boss. I bet if you're an employee.
Do not send this to your boss.
No, if you're an employee, If you're an employee, I bet you don't have the balls to send this to your boss. But you absolutely should. Because as employees, it's your job to hold your boss accountable as well.
I'm not saying that. I don't want to get anybody fired.
Well, if you get fired for sending this to your boss, you had a shitty boss.
Well, no shit. But
you're welcome.
It doesn't,
because now your eyes are open to a new opportunity.
Doesn't matter.
Tradesmen have the upper hand right now. They can go get a job anywhere, right?
I know they can.
So, but yeah, send this to your boss and say, hey, I've noticed some areas where I think you could work on your leadership skills. I would be a better employee if you could be a better leader. So, and I respect you enough to tell you this.
Good luck, boys.
Right? I bet nobody will.
I hope not.
I bet nobody will.
I hope not.
So, until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.